Live from Sacramento, California.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Featuring Damian Barling.
Yes, I absolutely still love Russell Westbrook.
So what?
And Kenny Caraway.
Sometimes you really just vibing out.
This is D-Lo and KC.
I'm the street's voice out west. Legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked.
On ESPN 1320.
Man, we are thrilled that you are here with us on this Thursday, October 18th edition of D-Lo and KC. I am Demi Barling. He is Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
And we've got a busy show for you here today. The pride of Cordova High School, Jerry Manuel, former Major League Baseball manager. He's going to join us coming up at 12:30. Matt Kolsky, of course, you can hear him each day here on ESPN 1320 at 2 o'clock. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, he'll be with us coming up at 1 o'clock. 49ers practice getting underway here in just a couple of minutes. And I don't know what practice means in the NFL, given that we've gotten a brand new positive COVID test for the Tennessee Titans. Plus, we've got a confirmed test that was deemed inconclusive yesterday that has been confirmed to be positive. So the Titans are on a one-team plan to destroy the entire NFL season.
These boys is wild. They are wild. And, you know, some of the things that are coming out, I know before I was like, man, maybe it's not fair that they got to forfeit or just shut down everything. More and more comes out to make me say, yeah, they probably should forfeit. Because, yeah. I mean, maybe initially how they got it wasn't their fault. But the fact that it keeps continuing has a lot to do with the way they were moving. So,
We're learning a lot more about the situation. Like, we don't know, you know, to steal the NBA line from an eternity ago, we don't know who patient zero is. Like, we don't know how it got introduced into the clubhouse. But we do know that the Titans were informed on September 29th that in-person gatherings had been banned because of the organization's ongoing coronavirus. We had reported that. That's why the game was postponed. They weren't allowed to get into the facility and all those sorts of things. Well, they decided to take it amongst themselves to have a workout at a Nashville school the very next day.
Come on, man. Come on now.
Tennessee is all of America right now. The Tennessee Titans are all of America. They're just like, ah, screw it, whatever. Like, let's go work out. Let's go practice. Let's go do our thing. Meanwhile, it's player after player. I remember 2 days in a row, no positive test. It's like, okay, all right. I guess we've got the, what is it, the Titans and the Bills, I think, coming up this weekend. Like, all right, this is good stuff. And then the next day, whoa. As Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my friend. They've had, well, since that day, they've had three positive tests since then. There's no way the Tennessee Titans game can take place. Like, that's just, there's no pushing it till Monday because the Buffalo Bills, they play on Thursday. And now you've got this team, like, every decision that they've made up until this point, it's affecting other teams.
Yep.
It affected Pittsburgh. Like, you know, Pittsburgh lost their bye week. The Ravens had to change their schedule. Now it's going to affect Buffalo. And you said, using your Diddy line for making the band, what do you want them to do?
Shut down the studio.
Meanwhile, the NFL is like, no, we're not going to shut down the studio. We might just shut down Tennessee. And there has been talk about in the strongly worded memo that went out from the NFL where forfeitures of games would be a conversation. You know, we expressed our doubt on that yesterday. Now, the Titans Bills game, I think, is scheduled for 1 o'clock, or excuse me, I think it's scheduled for 10 o'clock our time coming up this Sunday. That's an easily cancelable game. That's no big deal. If we were talking about a Thursday night or a Sunday night or a Monday night, the conversation would be a lot different. But a 10 o'clock Thursday game or a 10 o'clock Sunday game, that's easily, you know, that's easily dumpable. And I'm sure Tennessee has a lot of those 10 o'clock/1 o'clock games on Sundays. But, you know, at what point, by the way, is there still an NFL commissioner?
Your guess is as good as mine. I haven't seen him for months.
Has anybody like seen or heard from Roger Goodell? Like, is
not a peep.
Is he not safe? Is he in quarantine? Because I don't like Rob Manfred. I don't think Rob Manfred has done a good job as the commissioner. I think he sat too long on the issue of safety nets, you know, extending. I think he sat way too long on that issue and didn't make a definitive answer when he could have, and he put it on ball clubs to do it in parks to do it themselves, which I think is irresponsible of him. And I think when this whole process started of and get it, the commissioners, but you know, we often talk about this with Roger Goodell, Rob Manfred, it's the same thing. The commissioners are, you know, they're there on behalf of the owners.
Mm-hmm.
The owners are the boss of the commissioners. So Rob Manfred's got to walk out there and take the same bullets that Roger Goodell does. But I'll give Rob Manfred credit for this. He didn't hide when this Miami Marlins thing was going on. I didn't particularly care for some of the things that he said, but he would go on to different talk shows or he would go on to the Major League Baseball Network and he'd say, yeah, if they don't fix this, we're just going to shut this down. He put it on the players. He said, we have attempted to create a system that we think is going to work for you.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to abide by the protocols that we've put in place, it's not going to work.
Right.
And if you would rather go to bars and go to clubs, or if you'd rather go out to eat to restaurants, or you'd rather just live life as normal, cool. You could be able to do that, but we are going to shut this season down.
Mm-hmm.
Once Miami got contained, I think we had one other like serious issue, and that was with St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Scare with the Giants turned out to be nothing. There was a little something going on with Oakland, but it wasn't the – this. Remember, Miami – that was the first weekend. Like, we were days into the baseball season when the Miami Marlins thing happened. And Manfred got right out there and said, well, okay, if they want to live their life, they can live it, but we're going to shut this baseball season down. Meanwhile, Roger Goodell, nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found for the last going on 10 days regarding this Tennessee Titans situation.
I mean, It's embarrassing. It really is embarrassing. I mean, your season, your league is on the brink as we speak and getting worse daily. Mm-hmm. And you're nowhere to be found about this. This is a grade A lack of leadership. Just the lack of leadership. And it kind of goes to everything that's kind of been going on with the NFL since all this started, right? Like we talk about all the time, not having a plan, not being prepared, coming into the day before training camp start and not having an agreement with the players on protocol and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And it just continues. And this is no different. Like you said, where is Roger Goodell? Where are you at?
The NFL has long believed, and this is news to no one, because of the amount of money they earn, because of the droves in which we've tuned into each weekend, whether it's the Red Zone channel or it's the primetime games or it's the early morning games or whatever, they know they've pretty much got us, collectively speaking, of course, in the palm of their hand.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe that we've said this often, the Shield believes that it's bigger than a pandemic. The Shield believes that it's bigger than a social justice movement. The Shield believes it's bigger than all of that stuff. So they approach this whole season while, you know, Adam Silver and Rob Manfred and I can't remember the hated commissioner of the National Hockey League, but
Gary Bettman?
That's who it is. They still, you know, they were like, how can we, you know, get this done? How can we, you know, get this season going? How can we navigate through this coronavirus pandemic? In the case of hockey and basketball, it was how can we finish our previous season? In the case of Major League Baseball, it was how can we just get a season started and over with?
Mm-hmm.
NFL's like, we just walking up here like ain't nothing happening. We're going to play at home, and that's fine. The amount of players on an NBA team versus the amount of players on an NFL team are drastically different. Even the amount of players on an NFL team versus a hockey team.
Yeah.
Very, very different. So doing the bubble and quarantining and being inside hotels, that is extremely far-fetched given the size of a football operation.
I do think they could have pulled it off, but I hear what you're saying.
Oh, could they have pulled it off? Absolutely. They had enough time to pull it off.
Yeah, in certain areas. So like a California or a Vegas bubble, a Texas bubble. Like they could have had like three or four different bubbles and put certain teams in there and played games like literally every day to
KC,
make it. Like there was a way to make it happen.
KC, apparently Florida is completely safe because aren't we getting ready to open up? Isn't some stadium in Florida getting ready to open up 65,000 plus?
Yeah. The beloved. Well, I think I was going to say Joe Robbie, but now it's Hard Rock. 65,000. Imagine risking your life to watch the Dolphins play. Wow.
Oh, man. Boy, it's a shame what happened to Tommy. What happened? Well, he just He had to see his Dolphins, man. He always said, these Dolphins are going to kill me, and damn it if he wasn't right about it. If he wasn't right about it. I mean, and it, what's probably laughable about that statement about them opening up the Hard Rock to 65,000 people in Miami is there have never been 65,000 people, pandemic or not, in that stadium.
No. They might have for the U. They might have had 65,000 for the U, not for the Dolphins. For the U.
Oh, man. Boy, we got to go see Ryan Fitzpatrick before it's too late. My goodness, man. We laugh now. Of course, the Miami Dolphins are in Santa Clara to take on your San Francisco 49ers. We'll talk a great deal about that coming up at 1 o'clock when Matt Kolsky of Damon Ratto and Kolsky joins us.
But, you know, Damon, to your original point, like I said, I'm at the point now with everything that's coming out. The Titans, like you said, they can't play on Sunday. They can't play on Sunday, and the league and the Bills should not be inconvenienced for the way that they've handled the Titans. I'm talking about the full way the Titans have handled this whole thing for the last 10 days. They should not be penalized. They should not be inconvenienced. And this needs – we talked in the pre-show meeting, like maybe for somebody to get it, Goodell, if we could ever find him, needs to bring the hammer. And the hammer is – like sometimes they just laugh at draft picks and all that. Games. Actual games. You will lose a game if we find out that you're not taking this thing seriously.
I don't think they laugh at draft picks. I think they laugh at money. I think I'm not going to discredit the $250,000 fine, I think it was, that's been going out to teams whose coaches violated the mask protocol. I think that's a pretty substantial amount of money. This, you know, going out and working out after the league has said you are barred from activities. You are barred from team activities until we get to the bottom of this. To just blatantly disregard that. And, you know, whether you vote to, you know, forfeit games or whatever the NFL decides to do, they've got to bring a heavy hammer down on this organization.
Yeah.
And we've got to start talking not about fifth and sixth round picks. We got to start talking about first, second, or third round picks when it comes to, you know, it has to be a punishment that organizations look at and go, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to put ourselves in that situation. And then the NFL has to – how important is getting through the season? They're going to – we all know the NFL is going to play their games. How important is playing 16 games? Because right now, I don't see how Tennessee gets 16 games in.
No, they're not.
And now this is going to affect Buffalo, right? Yeah, like, if this is going to affect Buffalo. By the way, the Patriots, Belichick's like, yeah, we're preparing to play Sunday.
That's a whole other deal.
Their facility's closed. Facility is closed today, and it's closed tomorrow. That's what led to the Titans game being canceled. It's like you can't ask them to go play. They can't get into their stadium, or they can't get into their workout facilities.
Well, the Titans should definitely take a L on Sunday. Absolutely.
Well, we're going to continue to monitor this. I mean, they're going to have to start making some decisions soon. We're going to step out. We're going to come back, and we're going to switch gears. As a matter of fact, the A's. They got on the board yesterday against the Astros in that Dodgers-Padres game. I am all in on that.
The playoffs have started, Damian. The playoffs are here.
Plus, former Major League Baseball manager Jerry Manuel set to join us here as D'Lo and KC continue on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
You're listening to D'Lo and KC on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320. D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC continues on ESPN 1320.
Jerry Manuel coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Matt Kolsky coming up at the top of the hour. And you can chime in anytime you'd like to at D'Lo and KC on Twitter and at 916-349-1320. Boy, the A's looked like they were done for yesterday.
Hey, got to give a shout out to the A's, man. And people thought I was being sarcastic when I said good for the A's yesterday on Twitter. No, I mean it. Good for the A's. They showed some heart that yesterday. They fought back. Looked like their season was dead in that seventh inning. And good for them, man. Good for them.
History says their season was dead. They were 1-29 in franchise history when trailing by at least three runs through six innings in a postseason game. The lone win came in game four of the 1929 World Series.
Wow.
So safe to say the A's did something that they had not done in a very, very, very long time yesterday against Kenny Caraway's Houston Astros.
Okay, let's settle down a little bit. But
am I wrong? Like,
you're definitely wrong. I mean, look, if there's any team in AL that I love, well, love is a strong word, but that I like, it's the Bronx Bombers, right, who are on the brink themselves. It's not the Astros, but I love what the Astros are doing right now. Don't get it twisted. I love what they're doing, all right? But no, not Kenny Caraway's Houston Astros. Let's relax.
So it's Kenny Caraway's New York Yankees.
I don't even know if I can take ownage of them because, you know, I'm faithful. I'm faithful to my guys, all right? It's orange and black all day. Don't get it twisted.
It's not what I heard.
Well, I got love for the Yankees, just like Kings and Knicks. Like Kings all day, obviously. I got love for the Knicks, though. I got love for them. You know what I mean? It's the same thing with the Yankees, man. I got love for the Bronx Bombers. It's all good. Ain't in trouble right now, though.
Kenny rocking the royal blue. Oh, yeah, they are in trouble.
Yeah, they're
in big trouble. The Rays up 2-1 on that series. It is all or nothing for the New York Yankees. They go out there. Aaron Judge is such a fascinating baseball player to me. Like, he had a couple of times the day before to help the A's take the lead. I mean, he wasn't really in a position to, you know, win the game for the Yankees. He wasn't really in a position to, you know, put the Yankees up or make a big impact there. But he was the last out of the game again. And I feel like Aaron Judge is the perfect, like, he is the perfect poster boy for what the Yankees are. It's like all or nothing. Mm-hmm. We're either going to win 10 in a row or we're going to lose 10 in a row. There's not really a lot of in between with us. Yeah. We're either winning big or we're losing big.
They're a bunch of sluggers, man. They're a bunch of sluggers.
The Yanks are going big.
Yeah, in that lineup, it's just a bunch of sluggers. You know, they can hit the ball like, man, my man Giancarlo, whatever, however you say it. That was a bomb. He hit, not last night. I think it was in game two.
Was it 458? I think it was.
Man, I think they did him a disservice. That looked like it was 44-58. Like, that was a bomb.
That was a monster.
But, you know, it's like you said, it's either going to that extreme or he's going to strike out three times. You know what I'm saying? The feast or famine. So there's that going on. But yesterday, and this is why I'm so excited to have the legend Jerry Manuel on the show, because to me, Damian, the playoffs started yesterday. That was some playoff baseball. When you talk about the A's and Astros and then the Dodgers and Padres and the high drama that was going on there. See, forget all that first round stuff that the three game series and all that. I don't want to see that come back. That's a waste of time. That's a waste of time, in my opinion. Just keep it with the wild card game and get into the NLDS, because that's when the playoffs start.
Okay.
I loved it yesterday.
So this is the Dodgers are in such a difficult position because I really like the Padres. I love this version of the Padres. I love the swag. I love everything I saw yesterday. I love that the Padres got fed their own medicine yesterday and were like offended by it. Okay, here's another question. I got a question for you. And maybe this is a question we've got to ask Jerry Manuel when he joins us in a minute. And he might not even care. When you're a pitcher, right, and the big play last night was Cody Bellinger, right? Bellinger snatching
play.
Fernando Tatis' home run from, you know, over the wall. And that was a go-ahead home run. He just snatched it away. If you're the pitcher in that situation, now, the pitcher can celebrate, like, with his teammates. Mm-hmm. But if you're the pitcher, can you showboat? Like, can you, like, turn to the dugout and blow kisses and do all of that stuff? Because in actuality, like, fam, you just gave up a home run. Like, the ball went
like 405 feet.
Yeah.
What are you doing, fam?
Your outfielder saved you. Again, you can celebrate with your teammates. But can you really showboat to the dugout if you just gave up a shot that went over the fence and you had an outfielder snatch it away?
No, not at all. And the funny thing about that, first of all, what a play by Cody Bellinger.
Oh,
everybody
incredible.
Knows how I feel about the Los Angeles Dodgers. But like I said,
you love them.
I ain't no hater. That was unbelievable. What a play. What star power on that play. Tatis hitting a big time. Tatis got a big time hit. It just got taken away.
Yeah.
But the star Tatis with coming through in the clutch, and then the other star on the other team coming through in the clutch and in his own way saving the game. What a play. Playoff baseball, like I said. But when you talk about what happened afterwards, first of all, I didn't even, like, I know afterwards he was blowing kisses and stuff like that, but the thing that got the Padres upset, that wasn't showboating. That was like, my career just flashed before my eyes. I almost just gave up a bomb to lose the game, and my teammate saved my my baseball life just now by making a play. I'm in disbelief. I'm throwing my glove and my hat in the air because I just had, you know, my baseball life or the season flash in front of me. Like, I'm just dumbfounded by what happened. Like, that was not showboating. That was, I can't believe I just got saved. What a play. And I'm a big believer, and this is why I like playoff baseball so much. I feel like all rules are out the window as far as that stuff goes in the playoffs. Like, that's what makes it different. That's what makes it so good. Like, people can do bat flips. People can, you know, yell at their teammates in the dugout after they hit a home run. It's the playoffs. Like, this is, I thought at least, this is when you can show that type of emotion in baseball, because they don't really get too upset in the playoffs when you do these type of things. I don't know.
I'd argue it should be like that every day.
Well, of course. Of course.
Like, but, and by the way, can we also differentiate a bat flip from a bat toss? Like, Manny Machado chucked the bat further than any pass Nick Mullins threw this past weekend. Like, that wasn't a bat flip. That was a bat throw. Like, he did a seven-step drop and threw it. Like, that wasn't, like, Fernando Tatis, that's a flip. Yeah. But we need to normalize bat flipping and bat tossing and all of that stuff to break it down into categories, because Machado just, like, hit it and then chucked it. And then he, more than anybody else, got all in his feelings when the Dodgers got riled up and started showboating at the end of the game.
He got riled, got offended because the Dodgers were one of the great plays you'll ever see in the history of Major League Baseball. That they can't get excited. They can't be hyped. It's not like they, you know, turned around after the catch and started taunting the Padres dugout. The guy was looking at his man like, yo, you just saved me. And the Padres, Machado, what are you doing? Like, relax. Relax.
You gotta, like, hey, I'm all for it. Like, if you're going to dish it out, absolutely. Yeah. But when it comes back around,
you got to take it.
Boy, you better take it on the chin.
You got to take it.
You know, better take it on the chin.
I don't understand. But, I love it. I absolutely love what we saw last night in that Dodgers-Padres game. I mean, all the way down to, you know, bases loaded. One-run game, bases loaded, two outs. Eric Hosmer with a chance to be the hero. I mean, the drama, I've said a lot of different times a long time ago, I feel that the drama that you get in the Major League Baseball playoffs, and it's really accentuated when you have fans there and people are in the stadiums, I think it's second to none in sports. Like, I think the drama of Major League Baseball playoffs is A1. It's absolutely A1. So it came to life yesterday. It's a little difficult with no crowds and in these neutral stadiums and things of that nature, but you could feel it. It was leaping off the TV screen yesterday in that Dodgers-Padres series. And also in the Astros-A's series, they had a big moment with Josh Reddick at the plate as, I think, the go-ahead run, I think, in the eighth inning for the Astros. And you could feel that tension too, man. So, like I said, forget that first round. I know what Marshall be saying or whatever. Forget all that first round stuff. We don't need that no more. Give us a wild card game. Get us to the division series, because that's when the playoffs start.
Well, yeah, but like, that's like saying we don't need the first round of the NBA playoffs. Like, we still need the first round of the NBA playoffs. Like,
but the first round of the NBA playoffs is kind of ingratiated into
like change. That's what you're saying. You don't like change.
I mean, not when it doesn't benefit us. That first round was a waste of time. I mean, the Dodgers and Brewers, we need to see that nonsense. All right, get that out of here. Let's get to the division series. Like I said last week to Marshall.
Now, you wouldn't have felt that way. We spent a month talking about the Giants getting the eighth spot. You wouldn't have felt like that first round was garbage if the Giants were in it.
Yeah, because I'm a Giants fan. But just as I wouldn't be mad if somebody looked at the Giants and was like, so what? Like, who cares? I don't want to see this. You know
what if
saying?
The Giants had won?
It would have been a cool story. I mean, it's like the Marlins winning, right? Like, that's a cool story for Marlins fans. But me and you were just talking about get
Marlins
Miami out
fans.
Of here.
That's cute. That's cute, Marlins fans.
We don't want to see the Marlins going into the NLCS against the Dodgers. No, give me Braves and Dodgers or Braves and Padres, whatever. But look, at the very least, at the very least, you got the division series. Even the Marlins are in the division series, and whatever happens then happens. But I said last week, and I stand by it, I feel like the wild card game gives us more of a playoff feel than the first round of those playoffs.
Okay. I mean, I love the wild. I mean, the wild card game is fun. Any playoff that's a one off, mm-hmm. That's fun. Mm-hmm. The tournament, the NCAA tournament, football. You know, wild card weekend in football. They're all one offs. They're more entertaining because there's more at stake. It's basically a game seven over and over and over again. Like it's right. The deciding game every time. So I hear you on that sense. Here's a question about the Dodgers though. If you're a Dodgers fan,
ugh.
I know, but like you, like, can you, like, you're beating the Padres. That's a big deal, but can you even like enjoy it?
Well, there's nothing about these playoffs that you can enjoy until you're hoisting the trophy.
Right.
After 10 years of disappointment and not coming through in the postseason, there's literally only one thing that can happen that can put a smile on a Dodgers fan's face.
And that's brutal. Like, that's tough. 'Cause this is, you know, this battle that they're having with the Padres it's fantastic,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, all right, really just need to get this third win and keep it moving.
Yeah.
We need to get out of this series. We need to get into the NLCS. We need to get to the World Series. Focus. We've got to win. Like it's as simple as that. Like we can't show. Is there a better story than the Dodgers versus the Astros?
No.
I mean, there's some good.
Well, the Astros and this whole road that they may or may not now have to take is the story. Astros versus A's. A lot of people think they cheated them out of the division round for so long. Astros versus Yankees. The definitive moment of them cheating was Altuve's walk-off home run in Game 7 when mm-hmm. he didn't want anybody taking his shirt off because he had the buzzer
don't
on.
Don't touch.
Yeah, that's the definitive moment. So if they were to face the Yankees, that would be big. And then obviously you've got the World Series matchup where, you know, people point to them cheating as well. Astros versus Dodgers. So I think, ironically, maybe the biggest story in baseball going forward is the Astros against all these guys. You know, this whole, okay, let's run it back without the trash can against all these guys, A's, Yankees, and Dodgers.
Yeah, and then can you imagine if the Astros win? This has a feel of like Patriots post-Spygate.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots post
Deflategate.
You know, Patriots post every, you know, Aaron Hernandez, like every scandal, every bad story, everything that seems to encompass them, they'll come back and they'll, you know, be in the Super Bowl the following year or be in the, you know, the or they'll win the Super Bowl the following year. This feels like that. And you know what? That will make the Astros the ultimate villains. Let's bring in Jerry Manuel, former Major League Baseball manager and the pride of Cordova High School. Jerry, we are thrilled that you are with us. I'll ask you as a manager, like, how do you feel about the Houston Astros and the run that they've had this year?
I feel good. Feel very good for Dusty, obviously. I mean, he's a Sacramento guy. He's an iconic figure here and an iconic figure in baseball. I think with this shortened season, with baseball changing to, you know, kind of sabermetrics things and algorithms and all those things, they needed a person with instincts to get this shortened season right. And I think that's what Dusty's done. His players have gotten hot at the right time. So I'm just praying that he keep pushing them forward. He doesn't really have the pitching staff that they had there in years to come. So he's kind of mixing and matching and doing what he can on that end. But from an offensive point of view, they're going to be in every game. They're going to be a dangerous team.
Coach, I'm interested in your take about this because I've been saying for the last, you know, few days that there's something about the Astros that intrigues me. Obviously, we don't agree with the cheating and everything that's gone on
right.
with them. But the fact that they have showed you know, some kind of, you know, for a lack of a better word, the Giants used it a few years ago, championship blood, to like have to be like, take the challenge of saying, you guys thought it was just the cheating. No, we're really this good. We're going to take on everybody and believe that we can win this World Series. It's something that's been endearing to me. I can't lie. I mean, do you kind of feel the same way? Or is it just like, nah, they're to me because of what they did?
No, I think you know, I feel that, number one, without cheating, those are very good players. Mm-hmm. Those are top of the division championship players, regardless of whether they cheated or it made a difference or not. But what they did have before was a better pitching staff than they have now. But what they have now is a manager with tremendous pedigree that knows what to do, with great instincts in these types of situations. And I believe I don't believe in things like a player's manager or anything like that. I just believe they're good players and they got a good manager. And if you got that combination, you got a chance. And that's what you need in playoff baseball. You need the instincts versus the sabermetrics need to take over now, rather than just play by the numbers. Because there's some people that rises get larger in playoff situations where the person that had all the great numbers doesn't show up when this type of thing is on the line. Because he's playing for himself rather than playing for the team, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. Jerry, how would you manage a team like the Yankees? The Yankees feel like it's like all or nothing. It's either 17 home runs or it's 17 strikeouts. It's win 10 in a row or it's lose 10 in a row. It's such a unique collection of power hitters. Like, how do you manage that, particularly here when you get into the playoffs and you're playing a team like Tampa, which is just seems to be so well-rounded?
Yeah, it's a difficult challenge. I never wanted a all or nothing team when I manage. I mean, those guys are guys that put up numbers against, let's say, 3, 4, and 5 starters in a rotation and the back end of a bullpen. But when you have that many swings and misses, when you get to this time of the season, at least when it's a regular-type playoff and not 60 games, when you get to this time of the season, you're facing a number one, a number two, and another number one that you went and got.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you got holes, those are easily to be attacked. And that's what the Yankees have. They can beat up and get their numbers up on their fourth, fifth, and maybe the back end or the weak side of the bullpen. But if you got people that can place the ball and pitch, then you're going to be in trouble. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not dangerous. They still are a very dangerous club. But that does mean that there has to be more than one or two guys hot. Whereas, like, Dusty's guys, they can hit anybody. And they're hot. So when they come to the park, they're in the game. I don't care who you got out there, they're going to be in the game. Because in a 60-game season, you didn't have a chance to go out, and 16 teams in the playoffs, you didn't have the opportunity to go out and get that number one and number two when there was only 8 teams in the playoffs in the 62 games. So it's a different dynamic right now, and I kind of like where Dusty is sitting, because I don't think even the top pitchers now have reached their peak. Other than those guys from the Dodgers and the Braves, and they're pitching very well.
Yeah. And that leads into my next question. Jerry, I'm a diehard, lifelong Giants fan. So, obviously, I'm going against anybody except the Dodgers. But, look, I'm a professional. I'm a realist. These guys are stacked, Jerry. They are stacked. I don't think they have any holes whatsoever. No. It looks like the Braves are going to go to the next round. I'm going to assume the Dodgers are going to handle the Padres at some point. Do the Braves have anything for the Dodgers?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They match up very well. It should be. It should probably be the most exciting series out of all the series, in my opinion, is that the Dodgers and the Braves, I think, in what I have seen, well-rounded more than any other team in the playoffs. I think if Dusty's offense stays where it is, I think he'll be a good match for the Dodgers as well. But I don't know if he can hold them to the runs. I don't know if you can continue to bang with a team that can also bang and pitch. Mm-hmm. That's a tough matchup for you. Yeah. That's a tough matchup for you. But the Braves and the Dodgers, I think, are the two best balanced teams.
Are you
I think
okay?
Dusty has the best offense. Go ahead.
Are you okay with celebrating and bat flipping and pointing and blowing kisses and all that stuff like we saw in the Dodgers Padres yesterday?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good with entertainment.
There you go.
I'm good with entertainment. I don't mind if I used to come on the field and do a backflip, and then they hit it to me. You know, I'm good with that. I think we miss a little bit of that, but it has to be done in the context of winning.
Yeah.
I don't want you doing a bat toss and we down 16-1.
Yeah.
You know, just run around the bases and get back in here because we're getting our butts kicked.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but if it's the game winner and we fighting and we battling and we're going back and forth, hey, flip that thing, drop the mic, do what you got to do, and roll around there, style and whatever, I'm good. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
I think we've taken a lot of that out of our game, and I think it has hurt us a little bit. I mean, when Barry and Sheffield and you know all those guys used to hit those home runs and look at them and watch them, and it's like, we playing tonight. You got some going on in here tonight.
Yeah, like
it's a
that.
Party
like
up that. In here tonight. Let's go. Let's go.
Jerry, are you still in Sacramento?
Yeah. I'm just leaving our school in Alberta where we do under-resourced kids, and we have a baseball program here at a school.
Nice.
And we go out and we target the African American youth, and then but we're all inclusive. Whoever want to come, let him come, and we teach him baseball, and we try to get those numbers back up, at the highest level. But at least the game has done so much for me. It's just my way of trying to give back not only to the game but to my community and to the other communities in Sacramento. You know, it's like, we bring the kids and say, hey, go back and play in Oak Park. Go back and play in Del Paso Heights. I mean, back in the day when you had the Derek Lees, the Leon Lees, and all these people, and the Taylor Duncans and Greg Vaughns and rolling off as Dusty Baker. I mean, this was a haven for blacks to, to play baseball. And I think we're missing that with the pay for play. We just as a culture, 70% single family is tough to play. I don't think I would have played baseball if I would have had to come up through the way the construct of baseball is played now for you. I would have probably went on and played basketball or football.
Man, Jerry, we should talk some more, because after the weekend that Sacramento had, particularly in Del Paso Heights and in those areas, man, we've got some issues in our communities that we've got to work on, man. And it sounds like you've got a great avenue that we could, because we always talk about getting kids off the streets, right? But it's a line Matt Barnes gave us. Once you get kids off the streets, well, then what are you going to do with them? Maybe we can send them to the baseball park.
Right, and that's why we started the school. We've had we've been over here for 7 years over out here in Alberta, just kind of under the radar. Don't want to have too much exposure, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But we've gotten kids scholarships, and matter of fact, 2 years ago we had a homeless kid get a scholarship.
Wow.
That's awesome.
To go to Grand Canyon in Phoenix. I said, I got to get you out the city.
Yeah.
I got to do what I can to get you out the city. But so when cool. you come back, you got to come back and reciprocity is you got to give back and help bring somebody else back out the city. That's our message. That's what we're trying to do. But it's quite a challenge. It's quite a challenge dealing with a certain mentality and all the things that come with that is difficult. I mean, we have a 14-year-old kid that I know is going to struggle because of the people are incarcerated, but this kid has so much talent that I got to keep my hands on him every day. I got to keep him reading something every day, positive, to keep him in the right thing. Because if he stays with it, you're going to see him play at the next level. He's that good. Mm. I would say his name, but I don't want to embarrass him.
That's all right.
It's all good.
That's all right. Jerry,
Sacramento legend, man.
We appreciate everything you do. We appreciate everything your whole family does, man. Thanks for joining us today, Jerry.
All right, man. I enjoyed it. Y'all enjoy the playoffs. Y'all got the basketball going too, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, I mean, at least for one more night. We got it going for one more night.
Come on.
Jerry, they put the Black Mamba jerseys on tomorrow night, man. It's over.
Oh no, they ain't gonna put those on, are they?
Yeah, they going for the gusto. They going for the gusto tomorrow night. Thank you so much, Jerry. Thank you, man.
We appreciate you, Jerry. Yeah. Thank you so much. That's former Major League Baseball manager right there, Jerry Manuel Cordova High. His son, for those who don't know, his son Jerry Lorenzo is the creator of the Fear of God clothing line. Which is an extremely, popular clothing line. We'll step out. We'll come back, man. Great conversation with him. I love getting his thoughts. I'm all about entertainment. Like, Jerry's an old school guy, but he wants to be entertained just like the rest of us do, man. We'll come back. Matt Kolsky of Damon Ratto and Kolsky set to join us here as D'Lo and Casey continue on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC continues on ESPN 1320.
Two quick confessions here real quick. Matt Kolsky of Damon Ratto and Kolsky set to join us at the top of the hour. One, we debated long and hard whether we were going to end that interview with Jerry Manuel or not.
Man, we could have gone until tomorrow.
We was thinking,
listen to Jerry Manuel, man.
The way we kind of set this up, we don't really, like, it's not like we have a list of questions. Like, for a tip to aspiring journalist out there, have your first question ready, have some backups ready, but let the answers guide the conversation.
Conversation.
Man, there was so much more that we could have talked to Jerry about, but we were trying to be respectful of his time. Glad he enjoyed himself. Hopefully we can have him back. And then during the commercial break, Chris Biederman, who has joined us regularly here on D'Lo and Casey, he's posted a video of Jimmy Garoppolo going through some drills at workouts. So we may or may not have spent the last couple of minutes analyzing a 21-second video.
Yeah, I can neither confirm nor deny that I watched that four or five times. And
trying to see.
Just trying to figure it all out here.
Trying to see how well Jimmy Garoppolo is moving. But he's out there. He's got the black jersey on. He's fully taped. I mean, it looks like he's... It looks like he's practicing. I don't know. There's a portion of practice that media is available for, and then there's a portion of practice that they're not. So they'll be wrapping things up over the next hour.
Come on now, come on. Hey, the funny.
You know what? I'm gonna go back to the video and see if Raheem Mostert is out there.
Yeah, look and see if you can see Raheem out there and watch it another four or five times. Because that's what we're breaking that thing down. I think it's what 10 seconds, 12 seconds.
It's 21 seconds long. Yep, and we're looking at it pretty closely here. I don't see Mostert. You know what? I saw another tweet that Debo's not out there. It doesn't mean anything, but yeah, I don't see Mostert in this particular video.
Come on, Chris. We need more, baby. Come on.
But Mostert was limited, very limited from what I read in practice yesterday. Jimmy Garoppolo went through the walkthrough with the first team. So, I mean, when you're coming off a loss, you got to analyze everything the following week, right? Especially when your starting quarterback is out, especially when you're, I guess, starting running back is out.
Well, you know, I guess. He's RB1. He's RB1.
The thing with I got to be honest. Like, the Raheem Mostert thing has kind of been fascinating for me the last couple of days. And I've had a lot of, you know, 49ers insiders break this down for me, and 49er film watchers and all of that stuff break this down for me on Twitter. And they all kind of said the same thing. They were talking about Raheem Mostert's speed and how he has the ability, like we saw against first play of the game, and then another play in which got called back in the same game. But we saw he has that breakout ability, which, you know, aside from the 55-yard run on third and 30 or whatever that insane play was from Jerick McKinnon, Jerick McKinnon doesn't have that same type of explosiveness that he might have had in Minnesota several surgeries ago, by the way. What people were saying to me is he has that breakout speed ability. He has that big, that home run ball, that big play ability that the other running backs on the San Francisco 49ers don't have, and the opposing defenses have to adjust to it. And I'm wondering, like, is that more glaring now that he's gone? Or has that always been the conversation with him? Because this was a guy who during the offseason, and I understand the leverage game and all of that, but this was a guy who, you know, was making $0 and asked for 10, and the 49ers were like, nah, we'll give you 2. He was like, well, everybody else is make 10. Yeah, but you're making 0, and we've got you under contract for 0, so we're just going to give you 2, and we're being generous about it.
Yeah,
but now it's all of a sudden, oh, my God, our offense can't function without Raheem Mostert.
Well, the funny thing about that is, like, they valued him so much as a special teams guy that they almost overpaid him as a special team guy. And as a running back, he was kind of underpaid. Like, he was paid, I think, don't quote me, but he was paid – like in the top 20 as running backs. It wasn't like he was making peanuts. Like he was.
Well, that wasn't his argument. Like, he's not even a top paid running back, like, on the team.
I think he didn't make as much as Tevin Coleman, but Coleman also, you know, everything's about timing, right? Tevin Coleman had just signed his free agent contract, you know, planning to be the number one running back. Right.
Right.
But, you know, Mostert had kind of outperformed his contract as a running back. So he was trying to get paid more as a running back as opposed to his contract being for a top flight special teams guy. Mm-hmm. But, like, I, when it comes to Mostert, he's a playmaker, man. He is a playmaker. His speed and his ability to create mismatches or take advantage of mismatches, I should say, it's glaring. It is glaring. And it is something that, like, because I understand kind of where you're coming from and others coming from. Because this guy's been around for a long time. And rarely do you see guys that have been around. He's been in the league. I'd have to check 6 or 7 years at this point. Maybe a year or two less than that. But he's been around for a minute. And then all of a sudden, he's one of the most dynamic playmakers in the game. Like, that's not usually how it goes, right?
Yeah.
But that's the case with him. Like, he is one of the most dynamic playmakers in the game today, and you put him with Kyle Shanahan and the way he's able to make mismatches in the passing game, but then also what he's able to do and the way he's able to hit holes in that run scheme that Kyle has. And I don't care if you're backed up on the 2-yard line, it can go 98 yards with Raheem if you just get the ball in his hands. And that's what they're missing. They didn't have it last week. They didn't have it with McKinnon.
Is it too, like, hot takey to ask if Raheem Mostert is more important to the 49ers offense than Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yes and no. So, yes, it kind of is, right? But I've actually heard the question asked. Like, you're not the first person to ask that. I've heard it.
So you're saying not only am I hot takey, I'm not creative in my hot takiness.
Well, this was all in your head. You know what I mean? You didn't steal it.
No,
from
like
else.
I was.
This is something that you thought of.
And for context, it was based off, like, I mean, Kyle Shanahan was just like, man, with Mostert out, and you know, he was crediting Jerick McKinnon. He was doing all of the things that, you know, you would want your head coach to do. Mm-hmm. But he mm-hmm. was really just praising Raheem Mostert and talking about what the absence of him means. And I thought, man, I guess I didn't, you know, I knew Mostert was a loss. I didn't realize it was like that. Yeah. Like the whole offense was going to be, and part of it is, of course, the starting quarterback is gone at the same time. So you're hit with the double whammy where if Nick Mullins you have, you know, Raheem Mostert can still help out things. Or if Jimmy Garoppolo is out there, you're not missing Raheem Mostert as much. Mm-hmm. But just hearing the way that, you know, Kyle was glowing about Raheem Mostert, it brought that question in my head. Is there both obviously on the injured list? They're both limited in practice, and you know, we're awaiting their availability for this upcoming weekend against the Dolphins.
Yeah, if the question is ever posed, it's always Jimmy. I mean, it's always the starting quarterback, it's always Jimmy Garoppolo. But I think a couple things are at play here with Mostert. Number one, everything that I talked about just a second ago is true. He's a playmaker. He can take it to the house at any time, and he can do that with the ball in his hands. And if he's on the field, the defense has to account for him, and they've got to make sure they know where he's at all times. So there's that. Then when you talk about this stable of running backs that they have, let's take last year for example, if Mostert, you know, was that guy from the start and he would have went down, you still had a speed element with Matt Breida. There was still a guy in Matt Breida that could take it to the house at any time. Now without Breida there, and even with Tevin Coleman there, who's a different type of back, but he's still very good in his own right, now you're down to McKinnon, who wasn't really looked at as being a guy that you're going to, you know, pound the rock with. You know, he was supposed to be kind of a specialty back out of the backfield, maybe on third downs, things of that nature. And then you got guys like Jeff Wilson and Jamichael Hasties, who, like, as much as I like Hastie and everything, they had more games not on the active roster than on the active roster. So when you talk about that and you look like, man, this is what we got. We need Mostert back bad, because you can't say Tevin Coleman, because Tevin Coleman ain't coming back no time soon.
And, you know, maybe Burita's the loss that's exemplifying what Raheem Mostert means to this offense. You're listening to D'Lo and KC on KIFM West Sacramento, KRXQ, HD2 Sacramento, or radio.com sports station, and driven by Lasher's Elk Grove Dodge. He is Kenny Caraway. I am Damian Barling, and we are welcoming in Matt Kolsky. Of course, you can hear Matt Kolsky each weekday here from 2 to 6 on ESPN 1320 as part of Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Matt, we appreciate you joining us. We're going to bring you right into the conversation we're having about the San Francisco 49ers. If you could pick one that absolutely, absolutely has to be back this Sunday against the Dolphins, Jimmy Garoppolo or Raheem Mostert, which one is more important to you?
Wow. Damian, Kenny, hello.
What's good, Matt?
Pleasure to be with you. I'm stalling. That's a hard question. I think it's Garoppolo, right? Just because I trust Jerick McKinnon to be okay in the run game and good in the pass game. Jeff Wilson is fine. Jamichael Hasty is a guy I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit. But after last week, I have to acknowledge the possibility that they get an absolute zero at quarterback play if Jimmy Garoppolo is not there.
Well, one of the things that we talked about, and Damian it brought up, because on the surface, when you talk about Raheem Mostert, you're talking about a guy who didn't really play until like week 12 last year. And then all of a sudden, he's one of your, if not your biggest threat on offense, your top three player on offense. And it just doesn't even sound right. You know, he's been in the league for 6 years or something like that, and all of a sudden, in one of the best teams in the league, he's like the most potent offensive weapon. It doesn't sound right, but is that really the case here with Raheem Mostert, that he is, because I happen to think he is one of the biggest playmakers, not only on this team, but in the league right now?
Yeah, the story is so crazy that I think all of us have kind of looked at him every step of the way and been like, okay, yeah, that was, the production was amazing. He did look incredible, but that can't really just be who he is, can it? But he keeps showing us at every turn that's who he is. And it's not like, you know, supporting that argument, it's not like those first 4 or 5 years in the league when he wasn't doing this, it's not like he was given opportunities. Mm-hmm. He wasn't given any opportunities to actually be an NFL running back. And really, from the minute Kyle Shanahan gave him that. And really, it wasn't even Shanahan who gave him the opportunity. It was injuries to other guys gave him that opportunity. He has not looked anything but special, has he? So I think at a certain point, we got to say, yeah, Raheem Mostert is special. And they do miss him. I don't want to suggest they don't miss him. I just think quarterbacks is both a more important position and also a less deep position on this team.
We've been analyzing, by the way, Chris Peterman posted a video of Jimmy Garoppolo going through warmups. We've been analyzing it. It looks like he's moving pretty well.
He's in.
21-second video. So, like, that's what we're working off so far.
And for the first 8 seconds, you can't even see where Garoppolo is.
And I've now watched it 9 times. Okay?
There it is. As all 49er fans are watching that video over and over again. Can you make – and I understand this is a difficult question, Matt. Can you make heads or tails of this team yet? Like, they're obviously, the expectations are incredibly high. George Kittle has not shied away from that. We want to go back to the Super Bowl, but it's really difficult to get a feel for, you know, when the team was healthy, they lost to Arizona, then they come back and they beat, you know, two really bad teams. And then, you know, of course they lose to Philadelphia last week in a game in which they just completely gave away.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean to depress you with that, but I can't figure out if this team is like good or what they
are. Well, the problem is not only have the results been weird, but the roster has been so decimated by injury that even if we knew exactly what we had seen, it doesn't necessarily speak to what we're about to see. So I think you got to wait a few more games, because not only do you need Garoppolo back and healthy, but you got to play some real teams. You got to get whoever can get healthy. And, you know, it seems like by the time they, by week 6, they expect to have Sherman, potentially Mostert, certainly Garoppolo. Like, if they actually continue to get healthy and they don't sustain more injuries this weekend, then I think, you know, week 6, 7, 8, that's where you're really going to find out what this team is, because that's where you get real opposition and hopefully the real 49ers, because I don't know that we've really seen the real 49ers yet. I'm not sure what to take from week 1, where, you know, Arizona has not looked so good since, but the Niners always struggle against Arizona specifically and running quarterbacks in general. That's a weird one. I need to see a few games against good teams with the full complement of players, or at least, you know, whoever's going to be healthy this year, because obviously that does not include Nick Bosa.
Matt, do you think with the injuries and the 2-2 start and everything that's been on their plate in these first 4 weeks, I'm talking big picture here, the goals of this team has changed? I know in the locker room they're probably saying, no, we can still do this Super Bowl and all this other stuff. But
yeah, of course.
Do you think that's unrealistic now to have those type of expectations?
I mean, no. No, I don't, because I still think – I think it's possible that after week 8, it will be unrealistic to have those aspirations. But, you know, do you want to be optimistic or not? Like, I prefer sports optimism to sports pessimism as a general rule. So when I look at this, I try to look at, okay, can I imagine a reasonable scenario where this does work out? And I think that scenario is a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo. A healthy defense beyond Nick Bosa, you know, which means hopefully Dee Ford, although that may be wishful thinking at this point, but certainly Richard Sherman and Dre Greenlaw and, you know, the other 6 defensive backs who are injured right now. If those people are all healthy and Garoppolo is there, they got some real talent at the skill positions. I mean, we just talked about Mostert, but I think, you know, you guys probably appreciate Debo nearly as much as I do. We all know about Kittle. Ayuk has shown some flashes. They got 3 or 4 running backs that are at least interesting, including Mostert. There's a lot of talent here. Why can't they beat anybody in an NFC that, you know, who are the best teams? Seattle and Green Bay? And neither of those teams play any defense. So, it's still possible, but things have to go well. And part of the thing about this season is it seems like nothing is going well. If things go well from here on out, they got a shot.
optimism over pessimism. I'm going to tell you this, Matt. You would make a terrible Sacramento Kings fan. Just awful. Well, you would not cut it
now,
here, my
man. Now, hold on, Damian. Look, this is an important distinction because you can be an optimist, but being a realist is also important. So if you have reached a state of depression as a Sacramento Kings fan, that's understandable and probably correct.
Yeah, state of depression set in about a decade ago. So we're really just riding this thing out.
I'm not going to pretend to be like a Kings fan. I think anyone who's heard me knows I'm a Chicago fan. But as a college kid, you know I love me some run and gun Jason Williams into Mike Bibby Sacramento Kings. Like
great
that,
show on court.
Oh, see, I am still upset about what happened to those teams in the playoffs, and we don't need to go into any details about that. But believe me, I'd love to see the Kings be good. And, fingers crossed, I guess.
Yeah, because that works.
Definitely works. What do you want? They hired some new people.
We are excited about that. That's for sure.
They're bound to be better than the old people, right?
Yes.
I'm working on it, man. Yes. I'm working on getting this guy on the optimistic view.
I'm happy about Gentry. I'm happy about McNair. We'll see where it goes from here. We appreciate you. You got a show to do 2 o'clock, and I'm sure you're just dying. I'm sure Ray Ratto is going to cheerfully welcome you to the program.
We
enjoy listening to you guys each day. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Hey, anytime, guys. Happy to do it.
That's Matt Kolsky, Damian Ratto, and Kolsky coming up here at 2 o'clock on ESPN 1320. Ray Ratto's just his demeanor does not change.
No.
That's one of the amusing things about this.
I've always enjoyed that about Ray.
He's just the guy you got to get a kick out of. Like, once you get, like, who and what, you just get it. Like, oh, I get a kick out of this guy. It comes across in his writings and his speaking, everything.
Yeah. I get a kick out of it all the time. We talk about Raheem Mostert and, like, who he is and kind of coming out of nowhere. And it's like, oh, man, like, really, this guy out of nowhere is this playmaker and stuff like that? Look, I'm not going to get super analytical here, PFF and all this other stuff, because I've seen some stuff where they support, that he's this big playmaker. But, I don't know. That's not my bag, right? But we'll just go to the bare basics. And for his career, he's averaging 6 yards a carry. Put that together with 12 yards a reception.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a playmaker. Yeah, this guy's a playmaker. 6 yards a carry. I didn't even expect that. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's legit for real. It should be pointed out there are other guys. There are other people there returning from practice. Akilah Witherspoon being one.
Okay.
Trent, they were limited. And your boy, a guy that you've had a great deal of concern about over the last couple of weeks, Dre Greenlaw, was limited in practice
as well.
We'll hear from Robert Saleh speaks on Thursdays. Of course, Kyle Shanahan will speak tomorrow, so we'll have a better feel. I go back to Kyle Shanahan's remarks that we had yesterday. He said, if it's not Jimmy, I'm probably not going to tell you till Sunday. But does that mean, like, if it's Jimmy, he's going to tell us tomorrow or he's going to tell us today?
That's
like,
a good question.
Are we literally? And here's the other thing. I know Matt was talking about games and competition. I know I'm a broken record with this, dude. Y'all are just sleeping on the Dolphins.
No, I don't think I'm sleeping on the Dolphins. I know I'm not. I'm not sleeping on the Dolphins. I'm not. Look.
I think
sleep on
Miami's
anybody.
Better than Philadelphia. It's just, I think the question is whoever going to turn the ball over at the rate that the 49ers did last week? Particularly, it shouldn't even say that. That's not even fair. And I'm not, like, there were three turnovers. All three of them were counted to one person, and that was Nick Mullins. So are the 49ers going to protect the ball? Is the quarterback, is everybody, are they collectively going to protect the ball better than they did last week?
Because
they gave that game away.
Absolutely, and I think they gave away the game in week one as well. So they got to take care of the football. And just because Jimmy's in there doesn't mean he hasn't turned the ball over. We know he has turned the ball over. So with him being in there, he's still going to have to take care of the ball at a winning high level. I'm not sleeping on the Dolphins. I just feel – I know it's a 20-second video. I can't imagine Jimmy doesn't play on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I can't imagine.
I don't think so either. Are you really gonna keep doing this?
Oh yeah. You know what time it is when we come back, baby. We got fake
trades. I don't
know
what this is. Kenny's got a fake trade proposal. He's got another one of these hypothetical
trades, baby.
All right. So we'll get to that. We've got one-on-one. We'll be with you the rest of the hour as we continue here. It's D'Lo and KC on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
You're listening to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320. Now, back to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
Got one-on-one coming up here in just a little bit, including some interesting comments from Xavier Woods of the Dallas Cowboys defense. Kenny, my man, you are going to want to hear this. But in the meantime, you've got another one of these ridiculous fake trade machine, the Kenny Caraway trade machine proposal. I don't know why you torture yourself with these, but what do you got now?
Well, these trade proposals are definitely not ridiculous. And I need an intro next time. We're going to work on that. I need a sounder or something like that to say fake trade alert, fake trade. What does Shaq say? Tragic Brunson alert, tragic Brunson alert. All right, that's what we should have for a fake trade here. Fake
I feel like this is appropriate for some of these fake trades.
This is not appropriate.
I feel like this is totally appropriate. No, you don't want to go. So what? So we're gonna just
fake
be clear.
Trade alert. Fake trade alert.
This feels perfect to me, but I guess I'll leave it. I can always get the
this
theme music
one,
for. Doink. Oh, that's solid.
I think you're gonna want this one though.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to hear a buzzer on this one.
Okay.
All right. Your Sacramento Kings have made a trade. Not really.
Okay. Yeah. Be careful now.
It's
fake.
This is
fake
not breaking news.
Sacramento Kings
this is
have
fake
made
trades
a
news.
Fake trade.
It would be a deal with the Indiana Pacers, and it would have the Kings receiving Victor Oladipo and Miles Turner. And Indiana
both
would
of
get,
them.
Yes.
Okay.
Both are on the reportedly on the trade block, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Both want out. Well, Victor wants out. I think Miles is on the trade block. But, yeah, they're available. The Pacers would receive Buddy Hield, Nemanja Bjelica, and the number 12 pick in this draft. Damian, I think this trade works out for both teams. I think this is actually a good trade for both teams.
Okay. Explain to me why Indiana would do that. Because Belly's, I think, a team option, if I'm not mistaken. Buddy's a long-term contract. I guess the one thing is maybe there's someone in the vicinity of 12 that Indiana likes or loves, or maybe there's someone between like 12 and 14 that they feel like they can go up and get. Maybe they'd like to have a head coach and then implement a strategy about what they're going to do.
That would help as well.
With their players.
If you're Indiana, it's no secret now that Oladipo wants out, right? So that kind of takes the trade value down. You're getting a guy in Buddy Hield who's a 20-point-per-game scorer. He's under contract, so you don't have to worry about him leaving. And you're getting the number 12 pick. I think that's fair. Like, that's fair compensation for Victor Oladipo. Now, you ask why Miles Turner is in there. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Miles Turner and Sabonis, they don't have beef, but that's just not a fit. And they're looking to move Miles Turner. So you can make the argument if you wanted to, Oladipo for Buddy Hield, Miles Turner for the 12th pick. That's kind of what it comes down to.
But Oladipo's a year.
He
right?
is a year, and that's why it's a risk for the Kings. But I'd roll the dice. I would roll the dice on Vic and see if you can, you know, sway him with now you got a little bit of a different structure here with Monty McNair, Alvin Gentry, those guys, and sway him and possibly having him re-sign. I say this, worst case scenario, say he doesn't re-sign. You're still off Buddy Hill's contract, and you have your financial flexibility. And you took a swing at a guy at one point an all-star, and it didn't work. Okay, didn't work.
Since we established that I'm the pessimistic one of the group.
There you go. We lost you for a second, but you're back. We established what?
that I'm the pessimistic one of the group. let me ask this. You talk about financial flexibility, and I know that the aggressiveness, or I think the term, we're going to be aggressive and we're going to be flexible. Those were Monty McNair's words. And I'm confident Monty McNair isn't going to speak again for like another 10 years. But like that's fine. That's what we got to go off, right? That's what we got to go off is that press conference. What does financial flexibility do if you've never been able to attract a marquee free agent? Like, what is the financial flexibility for?
The financial flexibility is for if you get in a situation, for instance, like a Paul George, where this guy is owed a lot of money and he would never sign to you as a free agent, but you could trade for him, get him in the building. And like I said, we've seen it a couple of different times in the franchise's history. We've seen it a lot of times in the city's history. Once these players get here, I'm not going to say they love it like New York and L.A. or nothing like that, but once the players get to Sacramento, they're like, it's kind of cool. Like, I wouldn't mind being here. Nice place to raise a family. But the hardest part is getting them here to live. And that doesn't happen in free agency. It happens in trades. And you get them here for 1 or 2 years, and then you're like, look what we got going on here. Look at this city. Do you want to sign for another 2 or 3 years? I'd say 50-50. They say yes.
Alternate theory, I'm here in Sacramento. This is the team that can offer me the most.
Thank you. That part as well. They just cut out again. They hating on Damian. They really hating on Damian. You guys need to let this man live and let him get his pessimistic views out. All right? Let that man eat. That's all I'm saying. But
my internet is literally wired. That's why this is so stupid. Like, it's plugged into a wall, which is why this is so outrageously frustrating.
Well, look, maybe
I think you're doing it, by the way. I think you've got a switch over there.
who let the cat out of the bag?
You press a button every time you want me to shut the hell up.
Who let the cat out of the bag for me to get my views off? But I don't know. Maybe we could package your landline in this deal with
Please,
Indiana.
Like, let's do it. My landline appears to be worse than Jason Jones' old cell phone line. Jason Jones used to have the worst cell phone in the history of radio interviewers, and it appears like my wired internet connection has been infiltrated by the same exact problem.
Hayden. So honest opinion, what do you think about that trade? I know you feel like, why would Indiana do it? I think it works for Indiana.
I mean,
we don't know what direction they're going. Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't think Indiana can look at it and be like, man, you know, we're a piece away from contending in the East. No, like, we've talked about it before. The East is getting stronger. You're closer to being out of the playoffs. Like, I can make the argument for Indiana not making the playoffs. So strip it down. Strip it down. Rebuild almost.
Okay, so this is going to sound weird. I'll just go ahead and say that now. Mm-hmm. I'm not all in on trading Buddy.
Look, first of all, that's not weird. There is an alternate universe where I'm okay with Buddy staying. I get the value of having him on this roster. I'm just ready to move on, but I understand it.
Victor Oladipo and Miles Turner collective. Victor Oladipo by himself. Certainly Victor Oladipo and Miles Turner are collectively better. And truthfully, if we could package because obviously we're a part of this. If the Sacramento Kings could package that 12th pick somehow and acquire, you know, some more established players like a Victor Oladipo or Monster. Yeah, like, I'm down for that. Like, I love that idea. I don't think Indiana does that. I don't see why Indiana would do that. But if you asked me, would you like Victor Oladipo and Miles Turner here? 100%. Absolutely. Completely.
So and it's hard to say because they don't have a coach. And I come from the same place that you do with these things. Like, why would the other team do this? Yeah, it's great for us, but why would they do this? If you're Indiana, what are they doing?
Well, I don't know.
But just even without a coach, like, just look at them. Like,
well, no, I know. I don't know. Like, I have no idea. Truthfully, I've never understood what they're doing, but it always worked.
Yeah.
They were always there in the mix.
If I'm Indiana, I'm looking at it like this. If say I want 7-8, you know, maybe even a 6-seed or something like that. If I bring Buddy Hield in, I got Brogdon, Buddy Hield, what's my man's name that went off in the bubble? TJ Warren and Sabonis. that's four of my five. I don't know who the other starter would be, but that's four of my five right there.
Okay.
As opposed to, like, if I'm Boston or somebody, like, because I think they're expecting to field, like, a bunch of calls. Like, who would give up more than a Buddy Hield to get an Oladipo that is going to be a free agent the next year anyway?
Yeah.
I think that's where I come from with Indiana. Like, what could Indiana get better than Buddy Hield for Victor Oladipo? Who, to be honest with you, if we're being honest, I know he was coming back from an injury. He looked like he was coming back from an injury last year. There's no guarantee he gets back to, like, what we saw 2 years ago when you were in the first round against Cleveland or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a risk involved in going after Victor Oladipo right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's multiple risks. There's the risk of his health, obviously. And then there's the risk of you trading away, whether it's a pick asset or it's a player that you actually like, for a player that could be around for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you're the type of teams that do that, like, I don't know where you were going when you said Boston, but Boston is a team who looks at this like, okay, what can we do? And I'm of the mindset Boston doesn't need to do anything, but I'm using them as an example. What mm-hmm. could we do to make sure that we're not only better than the Bucks next year and better than the Raptors, mm-hmm. but we also got to be better than Brooklyn. We got to be better than Doc Rivers-led Philadelphia team. What sort of changes are Philadelphia, will Philadelphia
right,
make
right.
To their roster over the course of the next, you know, couple of months? Is Al Horford going to be on the move? What would they get back in return for Al Horford? It's funny how conversations change, because I remember when it was first reported Boston wasn't keeping Al Horford. They weren't going to re-sign him. They were going to let him sign elsewhere. And I remember Kings fans going, oh, I bet it could be us. I bet it could be us. And it was like, I don't think so. Like, I'm pretty sure he's not out on the market. Like, I think he took an offer to Boston, and Boston was like, no, there's no way we're doing that. Mm-hmm. And he winds up signing with Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. But there were Kings fans who were like, oh, my God, they want Al Horford now.
Ask me.
Kenny Caraway. How would you like Al Horford to be a part of the Sacramento Kings roster next year?
Hell no. Nah.
See? It's funny, but what did you think, like, last year when he was out on the market and he was a free agent? Like, what did you think it was going to cost? You were going to – it's just funny.
I didn't
funny.
Want him in either, but, I mean, after seeing him for a year and seeing where he's at, not like Al Horford.
I think
Horford,
that's a bad fit. I just don't think it
works.
It
wasn't a good fit. It never was a good fit. And, I mean, I like the whole veteran – presence thing and all that, but nah. I was never on Al Horford train.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just that's speaking to narratives.
Now.
That's
yeah,
all. I'm
definitely
just,
not
I'm,
now.
Okay. It's
I don't
just
blame you. I do it a lot. I speak to narratives a lot, too.
But he's got years now. He's got years attached to his deal, and he's going to be making a whole bunch of money at the end of his contract. And I got to imagine, you know, Doc isn't in charge of that team. Elton Brand is in charge of that team. But I would think Elton Brand goes to Doc and says, hey, do you got plans for the big fella here? First ballot Hall of Good, Al Horford. How can we, you know, do something with him? He's a solid 12-8 guy or 12-10 or whatever. Occasionally he'll have some other spurts, but I assume mm-hmm. you're here. You want to build around Joel Embiid. You want to build around Ben Simmons. And I know you have your feelings about that, but I believe that that's the case.
Yeah.
So what does Philadelphia do? Does Philadelphia look at Indiana and go, hey, maybe Victor Oladipo is a better fit here in Philadelphia than Al Horford is, and would Indiana mm-hmm. be willing to take on that contract? I don't know. I don't know who. Someone has to really like Al Horford
yeah,
to take on that contract, because think about how productive Al was for Boston. For Boston to go, nah.
Right. Right. That's the whole thing. I talked about this the other day. Who's taking Al Horford? Like, why would anybody really take Al Horford at this point with that contract?
I don't know.
Like, if you're Philly and you're like, yo, we need you to take the Al Horford contract off our hands, I'm like, all right, cool. Is Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid in this deal too?
Yeah.
Like, you, there's not a lot you can give me to say, yeah, I'll accept taking Al Horford right now. Well, he's got 3 years left on the contract?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like, they need to give up that pipe dream. He's not going nowhere, at least for 2 years.
And don't say that.
Stop offering him to people.
False.
Well, they can do whatever they want.
If
you're talking to me, stop offering me Al Horford.
If you can move Joe Johnson's Atlanta contract, you can move any contract. Joe Johnson got traded. The irresistible force and the immovable object got traded, and that was Joe Johnson's contract. If you could trade Joe Johnson, you could trade Al Horford.
Was that the trade to Brooklyn?
Dude, I can't remember. Joe Johnson's bounced around so much.
I can't remember. But
I remember that Atlanta contract and him signing in that year where he made more money than any of the big three that signed anywhere else. He made more money than Amari Stoudemire. He made more money than all of the marquee free agents. And yeah. It was like, oh, dear God, what are we going to do with this? Like, what are we going to do with this now that we've, you know, signed this deal? It's what some Kings fans were fearful of if the Kings signed DeMarcus Cousins a couple of years ago. If you had signed DeMarcus Cousins to that 200 and, I think at the time, five-ish million-dollar deal.
Even at that point, though, and with DeMarcus and with Joe Johnson, they were still, like, starting caliber players. Al Horford is not.
Horford's a starter. He's not. He is. He's just not a 100 and, you know, like, $60 million starter. He's a starter. Like, Al Horford's good. He's good. He's not good with Philadelphia.
No, he's not bad. Yeah, he's not.
Are we saying the same thing? You're just saying it. Now who's the pessimistic? One, I think you're saying it in a meaner way. I'm saying he's good. You're saying he's not bad. Are we saying the same thing or not?
I'm saying he's not a starter.
I think, dude, you're wrong. You're wrong. Al Horford's a starter. He's a starter. He's just not worth $160 million or whatever his contract was.
So even as bad as people talk about the Kings and their roster from time to time, I'm not saying you or anything like that, but if he got traded, if say there was no trade and it was just like this miraculous break all the rules, Al Horford's on the Kings now, is he starting?
Yeah. No. Is Al Horford starting in Sacramento? Yes, he is.
Holmes. He's not better than Rashawn Holmes today.
Will you stop? Stop it.
And I honestly believe.
Dude, Al Horford is not Dwayne freaking Dedmon.
No, he's not. But he's not better than Rashawn Holmes right now. He's not. Like, he's literally not. And I'm a big believer that Rashawn Holmes ultimately should be like your backup big, right? Like, I think like a Dwight Howard type of guy. Like, I think that's where he should be. That's where, you know, you look at this Miles Turner thing and he would be your starting center and you bring Rashawn Holmes off the bench or whatever. But Rashawn Holmes today, not career wise, he's giving you more than what Al Horford is giving you.
Okay. I don't know. I do not roll with that. Al Horford on the Sacramento Kings is better than Rashawn Holmes on the Sacramento Kings. Maybe he's not as fiery as Rashawn Holmes is, but he's better.
Not today.
I can't believe this is a conversation. Boy, your trade morphed into something entirely different. And I like Rashawn Holmes, but let's not pretend Rashawn Holmes wasn't like a day 13 free agency signing who was like, wow, Rashawn Holmes is still on the market. Like, let's go sign him. And it worked out really, really well for him. He was just a phenomenally consistent piece, arguably, or maybe not arguably, the most consistent piece for the Sacramento Kings last year. But still, like, let's not let the nonsense of Philadelphia and that bad fit ruin that Al Horford's a good player. All right.
He's not.
I don't care.
Damian Burling, Kenny Carraway. Four topics, two arguments, no winners. One-on-one with D-Lo and KC.
Whose man's is this? I really need to know.
All right, as we get going here, the Lakers, they're making a switch. No, not a starting lineup switch. Nothing like that. But they're making a jersey switch. And as they are on the verge of their 17th NBA championship tomorrow night, they have switched to the Black Mamba uniforms, which Kobe Bryant helped design. The Lakers are 4-0 in this postseason when wearing the Black Mamba uniforms. This is it, right?
Say it one more time for us, Damian.
The Black Mamba.
Say it one more time for us. The Lakers, what's the record?
4-0.
Say it again. 4-0. 4-0. Okay.
Right. Never lost.
I'm just checking because you cut out on us for a little bit. Internet was hating on that Lakers nonsense you were spewing out here in Sacramento. But I made sure my man, my partner, he got his point across.
Are we sure this is my fault? Like, are we sure this is my internet? Maybe it's everybody else's internet. Maybe it's not mine. Maybe everybody else's internet is jacked up and mine is totally normal. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that just everybody else's is screwed up and mine's working totally fine? I don't know. I can't tell.
I'm going to have to look into that.
I have no idea when I'm on the air or off the air anymore, so I'll just keep talking until you flag me down like you did the day Bill O'Brien was fired, and then I'll know I'll need to stop talking.
That was an all-timer right there.
That was one of the greatest. I'd hate to say it was one of the greatest days of my life, but I sure reacted like it was. I sure reacted like I had some investment in Bill O'Brien being fired that day. But in what may be the happiest day for Lakers fans' lives, they're winning their 17th title tomorrow, aren't they? You can't put on the Black Mamba jersey and lose.
Damian, the door is closed.
There it is.
The lights are out. The eggs are cooling. The butter is getting hard. And the jello is jiggling. The NBA season ends tomorrow night in the Black Mamba jerseys for the Los Angeles Lakers. They're going to be your 2019-2020 NBA champions.
What a wild season. What is the day? We got to look. Like, when? What was the day the China stuff happened? Like, it had to have been. Like, we've got to be approaching the NBA season being a year long. Like a 365 days long. And man, it's again, I know we say this all the time. It's wild to think that Kobe Bryant like passed away. Like, that was this year. That was in January. It feels like an eternity ago, but it was this year. Yeah. I have no allegiance to teams. I like LeBron. I respect LeBron. I love Kobe Bryant. This is a good way for this season to end. Like,
Like you say, I mean, I like, you know, I like LeBron. It's my guy. You know what I'm saying? Kobe, through all the things that, you know, went on with the Lakers and the Kings, I always loved Kobe Bryant. Like, always loved me some Kobe. This would be a fitting way for this season to end for the Lakers and for the entire NBA.
It's not shocking either. Like, it's... the Lakers were a favorite, as were the Clippers. By the way, Lawrence Frank was named the executive of the year. So that's weird. Like, Lawrence Frank of the Los Angeles Clippers
Congrats?
Yeah. Like, it's a lot like, I mean, Lawrence Frank didn't lose his job, but his coach did. So there's obviously, you know, that odd thing. Daryl Morey sent out that tweet on October 22nd.
Ironically enough, little Larry Frank, as Tony Kornheiser used to call him, he wins executive of the year, but nobody thinks he ever pushes the buttons. They give all the credit to Jerry West all the time. So the fact that he wins executive of the year, congrats, I guess. I mean, there's a couple other guys that probably should have won it, but sure, good job.
At this point, I'm just trying to make it through the last 15 minutes of the show. I have no idea. I genuinely don't
know. You're still here.
I don't know what you hear or when you hear it. Like, that's the weird thing. Like, I can see you, and I can see the words coming out of your mouth, but I'm not always confident that you hear me. So let us pray.
Well, I always hear you.
As DMX said,
I always hear you. To pull back the curtain a little bit, as you can see, I'm not looking at you on the Zoom because that is just a mess right now. I don't know if that's me or you, but that is a mess. So I've minimized that screen.
Mine's functioning perfectly.
That's the most important thing because we have a radio show. We have a radio show. So the most important thing is that I hear you.
I've heard we've had a radio show. So I've wondered over this last month if it was just, you know, us goofing around with a couple of friends here in our house. But yeah, no. And I've been by a couple of friends. I meant you out there. But it's a disaster. But that's good. Welcome to 2020. And again, it all changes in 2021. Like, everything is completely normal come 2021.
Does it change, like, when it's New Year's Day in Egypt or something? Like, do we have to wait for Sacramento 12 o'clock? Or, like, when is it?
That's a fair question. And what happens in New York? Like, if you're the city, do you actually have to say, okay, listen, people, there's no ball. Do not bring your traveling asses down to Times Square. There is no ball. You will be arrested. There is a police station on multiple corners. Do not come down here. Because you can't drop a ball and expect people not to show up.
You can't drop a ball in New York, please. Ain't no New Year's Rockin' Eve, none of that. Please, no. All right? We're trying to get through this whole thing. Please, no.
False. Right? Some of us are trying to get through this thing. Others,
you're right about that.
Much like the Tennessee Titans, they're just going on with life as totally normal.
A lot of clown behavior going on in Nashville right now. But, you know, Damian, we have football for now. I know I said shut down the studio. I know I said that's what they need to do. And they may still need to do that. But for tonight, we have football. Thursday night football. And quite honestly, for me, this may be the premiere on the 2020 season of Thursday night football. All right, this is the first thing that's worth my attention all year long. We're in week 5. Finally, gets my attention. Bucks Bears tonight. Are you watching? And who you got?
Yeah, I watch every week. I enjoy Thursday
night
football.
You watch Broncos and Jets?
I mean, I had it on. I might have had the computer. Oh, I might have been working on our award-winning show. I could have been working on some it was on the television. It's like, unless there was a finals game on or something else. I think there was a finals game on that night.
There was a finals game. Like, that's the crazy thing. I'm going to let you answer the question. Taylor Swift, I'm going to let you finish, right? But if you're a sports fan, Jets is on or Jaguars, Dolphins, and the NBA finals is on, what would make you say, you know what? I don't care about the NBA finals. I'm watching Jags and Dolphins. What?
That's easy. What are you asking easy questions for? Money. Gambling.
What that got to do with watching the game?
Fantasy. Because you got to watch on the edge of your seat.
Who has a Miami Dolphins or a Jacksonville Jaguar on their fantasy roster? Raise your hand if you got a Dolphin or a Jaguar on your roster.
So I'll raise our hands at the same time. Anybody? Bueller? No? All righty. Yes, I'm going to watch the game. Yes, I'm looking forward to it. By the way, this is a Super Bowl rematch.
What?
Nick Foles and Tom Brady.
I see what you did there. I see what you did. Technically, you're correct. Wow.
It's Nick Foles Brady. Nick Foles is a starting quarterback. I just love this. This is just fantastic. I'm not in on either one of these teams. They're both 3-1. I don't buy the Bucks. I know their little performance last week was cute. They string a couple of those together. Okay, maybe I'll buy in. I'm still not in on that team. I'm obviously not in on the Chicago Bears at all. And Mitchell Trubisky, his career as a starter is over, right? There's no way for that to be salvaged. Like, he's in the final year of his deal. They didn't extend. They didn't hit him with the option. Like, he's on another team next year, and he's probably a backup. Or he's in the Rocks XFL.
I would say he'd probably be in the Rocks XFL before being in the NFL. But who knows?
Him and potentially Dwayne Haskins.
Oh, man. Come on, man.
I'm not saying it's right. Hey, I don't agree with it. I'm projecting. I'm looking ahead. I don't think the Rocks starts till 2022. That's enough time for Dwayne Haskins to wear out his welcome and be in the Rocks League. Well, he'll throw for 50 touchdowns, be brought back, and be, you know, a backup quarterback somewhere or a practice squad player. But, yeah, of course I'm going to watch this. Like, yeah, I'm in on this. This works.
I'm going to watch.
Also, there's nothing else on.
Word. That's cap, Damian. We got Yankees, Rays. We got Dodgers, Padres.
What's the series total in Dodgers Padres? 2-0?
Yes.
Okay, and the other one, 2-1?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, to use your earlier argument about baseball, it doesn't even matter yet. Like, if they move on, it's like, okay, fine. If they move on, it's like they move on. If the Dodgers win, I'll watch them in the next round. If the Tampa Bay Rays win, I'll watch them in the next round. But if there's a game five, I'm all in. This ain't game five. Come on, man.
Well, what is this with the Bucks and the Bears?
It is Nick Foles versus Tom Brady in a Super Bowl rematch. Did my internet connection cut out again? How you gonna miss the Super Bowl rematch?
I'm gonna have it on. I'm gonna have the clicker going. All right, I'm gonna have the clicker going.
All right, fair enough. I need you to hear something, man. As we roll along.
Okay.
We have talked a couple of times about how bad the Dallas Cowboys defense is.
Mm-hmm.
Xavier Woods. Not the WWE, not the New Day, not that Xavier Woods, member of the Dallas Cowboys defense. He spoke yesterday about, well, he had some interesting comments about the Cowboys' defensive effort.
My effort's been good. I mean, in certain plays, some guy, me included, it may be a lack, but overall, the effort is there. You don't expect... Man, we're in the NFL. You don't expect guys to full speed for 70 plays. That's not possible. But we're gonna push as hard as we can. We know you don't expect the backside corner to go make a play on the opposite side. He running full speed the whole time. This is not possible, to be honest. But yeah.
I guess my question to you, Kenny, is that your man? Who was that?
That ain't no. Play the sounder, because that ain't my man. We need to ask the question.
Whose man's is this? I really need to know.
I'll take things you don't say in front of the media for 500, Alex.
That explains it all. Ain't no Clarissa explains it all. Xavier Rhodes explains it all right there. I just can't expect you to go hard all the time. That ain't happening.
Brutal. Like, what are you talking about? Like, don't say that ever under any circumstance. Don't say that out loud. That's like, remember the Chappelle show when Keeping It Real goes wrong?
Yeah.
Xavier kept it a smidge bit too real right there when he talked about you can't expect us to have a 100% effort each time. Like, I don't know that your teammates are going to receive that well, especially when your defense is this bad.
Your fans are going to receive that well. Nothing. Like, why would you say that? Why?
Again, it is when keeping it real. When keeping it real goes wrong.
Yeah, it went all the way wrong there. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know. That's his thing. That's how he feels. That explains a lot. That's all I can say.
That's exactly it. It explains a lot about the Dallas Cowboys defense.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's all you need to know. Like I just said, that's all you need to know. Damien, I got one last thing here, and this is not a question, but it's a reminder, and it's something to get everybody riled up and ready to go. The Sacramento Republic, they start their playoff run on Saturday. Sacramento Republic FC will play Phoenix Rising on the road Saturday night in the first round of their USL playoffs. Did you know this, Damien? Did you know, as SportsCenter used to do on their 3 o'clock segment or whatever? Since the Sacramento Republic FC's inception in 2014, the club has made the postseason every year, including winning the championship in the inaugural campaign in 2014. The only player on that roster from that championship team is midfielder, my guy, Rodrigo Lopez. And he played three teams in Mexico before returning back to the Republic this year. Damien, are you locked in? Are you ready for this playoff run from the Sacramento Republic? Let's go.
Am I playing? I'm pumped. Like, hashtag all things Sacramento. if you're asking me if I'm like locked in, ready to go, you know, win a championship, that I'm not the guy. You don't want me out there. I'm gonna need about 2 hours to warm up. I'm not the guy, but obviously, the Republic is a, it is a world class organization. It's an amazing organization. They're obviously incredibly well run, and yeah, thrilled for them.
Anything
that results in championships for the city of Sacramento, I'm all about. Let's do that.
I'm ready now. No disrespect to the USL, but I'm not particularly ready for this. Like, I'm not. I'm watching on Saturday night. Don't get it twisted. I'm going to be representing. I'm going to be, you know, showing out. But I'm just gearing up. This is a three-year gear up. I'm ready for the MLS, baby. I'm ready for the stadium down by the rail yards. I'm gearing up this whole 3 years as we get to the MLS. So, yeah, okay. I'll be ready on Saturday.
Keep that same energy for the Women's Soccer League that's on the way?
Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Let's go.
We're going to be the city of champions. That's honestly what I think.
And we started off early talking about pessimistic Damien. No. He has gone all the way on the other side and saying the Republic, I don't know the women's team yet, and the Sacramento Kings will all win a championship in the same year in 2023.
I said that?
Basically.
Okay. I'll take it. But, hey, championship city, all championships matter, Kenny.
You hear me?
All championships matter.
Absolutely.
Every single one. We have a huge show planned for you tomorrow. Bonte Hill is going to join us from 95.7 The Game. Leroy Hurd is going to join us tomorrow. He covers the Miami Dolphins. I'm curious. I'm anxious to hear what Leroy says about the Dolphins, by the way. Like, if I hit him with, yo, I think the squad is good, and he hits me with the, dude, you're an idiot. Like, I'm very anxious to hear what he has to say. And then, of course, Marshall Harris. For his weekly visit tomorrow at 1:30. So we'll get you ready, man. It is week five begins tonight, as Kenny just mentioned, with the Bucks and the Bears. And we've got the San Francisco 49ers and the Miami Dolphins. And no hyperbole here when we say it's must win.
Yeah. Definitely got to win. And I'll be watching.
We'll have some idea if Jimmy Garoppolo. I shouldn't say that. I think we'll have an idea if Jimmy Garoppolo was going to go tomorrow while we're on the air. Kyle Shanahan scheduled to meet with the media after their short practice. That's at about 1:05. So we should have a good idea if Jimmy Garoppolo and or Raheem Mostert is a go for this weekend tomorrow.
Would you mind donating your ankle or knee for Jimmy or Mostert, whoever needs it most?
I got to be honest, fam. It's not that serious for me. And just knowing my body, no one's going to want my knees. Just I'm going to go ahead and shut that down right there. No one is going to want that.
I'll take that as a yes. Let me get Kyle on the line. We got a replacement ready.
We appreciate Matt Kolsky for joining us. We appreciate Jerry Manuel for joining us. If you missed any part of today's show, you can download the radio.com app. Use the rewind feature. Radio.com is also the exclusive home for the podcast edition of D'Lo and KC. You could check that out. We expect you to be back here live with us tomorrow at noon. Damon Ratto and Kolsky are next. Here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC on the home for Sacramento sports talk, ESPN 1320.